I heard that was just unbelievable to me, that a police officer, anybody, let alone the head of the police department, would say, well, you know what, we would have waited till, if he started firing again, we would have immediately went into the room. So in other words, once he started killing and shooting more people, then we would have breached the door. But the other statement that he said right before that is that we wanted to go in immediately because we wanted to make sure he wasn't reloading magazines to open fire again. But they did not do that. That is a lie. They waited 1 hour and 5 minutes to go in. And then early on, within the second week, he was congratulating MGM Resort security because he said, that's how we engaged the suspect so fast. That is a bold-faced lie. They never, first of all, they didn't engage anybody fast. They waited 1 hour and 5 minutes, and allegedly he's dead when they go in. But who were they engaging? They never engaged anybody. He was dead on the floor when they went in. So I know I'm talking real fast. I want to get a lot of this stuff in. There's a lot more stuff here I don't have time to talk about. But from the start, this investigation was a mess, okay? And it was made more of a mess because Joe Lombardo, the sheriff, kept talking to the press. He even said at one time, sir, he said, you know, I gave out unverified information because they want to basically appease the public, okay? Unverified information is false speculation and rumor. You don't give that out to the public. We don't want to know that. We want to know facts. And if you don't know anything that you can't talk about it, what he should have said from the start is this. I'm not talking about this investigation. The FBI didn't talk about it, okay, until it's all done. If you want to know about the people who were killed, the fire guy will talk about it. But every time this guy held a press conference, I'm listening to what he's saying, and I'm writing notes, countering something and contradicting himself that he said at the previous one. Both him and Kevin McMahill's undersheriff, at different times, gave false, misleading, and deceptive answers to the press about stuff that just was not true. So, like I said, I got a ton of papers here to back up. But if anybody wants to read, there are 35 stories on the Baltimore Post-Examiner. Pull the tab down under my name. You can read and analyze it. All that stuff came from me analyzing police recordings from that night and listening to statements made by police officials. And I say police officials, we're talking about the upper echelon of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. So I'm talking fast, people, because I wanted to get as much stuff out as I can. You know, yes.
This is incredible. Paddock, yeah, you got 3 minutes. Go ahead, 3 minutes.
Okay. Could Paddock have acted alone? Yes. Could he board those ones? Yes. But what they did by giving this false and misleading information to the public and all the speculation, all of a sudden, that spawned all types of conspiracy theories. Because John F. Kennedy said something, you know, secrecy shouldn't exist in a democracy, okay? When you have the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, and you have the police giving out information that's deceptive or total false or an all-out lie, and you expect the people who are knowledgeable in this to say, you know what, yeah, that, I buy that, what he's saying, okay? I didn't buy a lot of stuff. And I'll say this as a former, and I'm ashamed to say this as a former cop, I would not believe one thing that comes out now, either from MGM Resorts International, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, or the FBI, unless I sit down myself with a bunch of other experts and independently verify, because we haven't seen one piece of document to verify anything that MGM Resorts International or Sheriff Joe Lombardo has said at any one press conferences. Nobody's listened to tapes. We haven't seen any documents, the falsified Mandalay Bay security report that they're basing the time of the shooting happened. Somebody manually entered the wrong report. Very politically correct way of saying they falsified the Mandalay Bay security dispatch log. There's so much stuff on this stuff, sir. I've been doing this since the night of the shooting, just because I'm an ex-cop and I'm basically retired, and this was my job to do so I could get at least something out for these people that were killed and the families of the survivors that were in there. Because right now, there's something really wrong with this investigation. And to this point, I do not know what it is. So,
Doug, I want to thank you because now that's Doug Pop, a top cop. Those are my words to me, a hero detective of the year back in the day. But this is a guy. This is a police officer who, if I were a cop, I'd want on my six. He knows what he's talking about, and a crack investigator as well. Doug, a final question here: to what extent has the FBI taken over and hence constricted the flow of information on this investigation?
Okay. A lot of people ask me that. I said, I don't know. I know they haven't talked about it except the first interview that Aaron Rouse gave that, you know, right after the shooting came out and said, we haven't found him connected to any groups. And I'm saying to myself, wow, that was extremely fast. And I'll say this real quick. after the terrorist incident in New York City with the guy from Uzbekistan, within hours, they knew everything about this guy. They knew his family and next on where he came from. They knew his house. They were doing raids and all this type of stuff. His whole life history was all over the news. They knew everything about that guy within hours. Now, it's been 2 months since this massacre in Las Vegas. It's the worst mass shooting in modern American history, and we still basically know nothing. They haven't released anything, and they haven't released one piece of documentary evidence, any tapes from either the security dispatch at Mandalay Bay or the police department, crime scene photographs, nothing to corroborate anything that Lombardo or Mayhill have said at these press conferences. And as a former investigator, I don't believe anybody. I want to see this stuff myself, and I think it all needs to be, if it ever comes out, it all needs to be independently verified by experts. Everything, the forensics, everything, blood spatter in the room, everything. Because right now, it's really sad of how this investigation was handled from the start. Now, it may have been handled great, but according to the head of the Las Vegas Police Department, it made his department look inept. And that's what bothers me, because I work with Metro detectives for years, 20 years out here, homicide guys, Homeland Security, and they're some of the best detectives I work with. So I really don't know what the hell's going on in the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
Well, Doug,
in this case.
Doug Papa, we're out of time, but I appreciate the updates, the exclusive information, by the way, and I apologize for misstating. That's the Baltimore Post Examiner for those people. Baltimore Post Examiner, the link will be in our program description. A lot of information. People are hungry for information about this, and you are the guy to bring it out, and I thank you, because we have not heard much of this before. Now, there's speculation, but not to the extent that you brought this out. Thank you for doing it. Please, would you come back and continue this? Giving information about this. Would you mind doing that?
No problem, Doug. Anytime you want me back on, and we can talk about this and some other stuff on
there. You're doing an incredible job. We thank you. We salute you, and we appreciate you, your dedication to the truth. Thank you so much, Doug Papa, and of course, follow him on Twitter. Please follow him on Twitter, because this information is crucial. And Doug, thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks a lot,
brother. Thank you. And folks, that's what a real cop. That's a real cop. That's a real police detective. That's what you just heard. You're not going to hear. You're not going to hear in the corporate media. This is how these. That's real. This is real. I have to say that again. This is real. And you know, if we were sitting around a table, a conference table, I guarantee you, the conversation would go the same way. You just got his historic insight by a top cop, by Doug Papa, as to how these things go. And I've sat in enough police type meetings to understand. And he's right on the money with this. So our thanks go to Doug Papa. We're going to have him back. Thank you so much, Bill McIntosh, Casa Media. Am I right, John? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. Bill McIntosh, Acosta Media. And by the way, any speaker, Acosta Media is the place to go. Also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to this program, because you're not going to hear this elsewhere. Or if you do, it's going to be a very watered-down version. Notice I stayed out of his way. Because when you have a police officer, a detective, at that level talking, you shut up. I shut up. I listen. I want to hear what he's got to say. And some very important information, the revelation about no SWAT team. No SWAT team. Two SWAT teams in Vegas, 220. No SWAT team. Go back and listen to that. And please, do me a favor. Share that interview with everyone you know. Share it on social networking. Tomorrow, the video, that interview will be segmented and will be on our channel. And I would urge everyone to share that with that segmented interview with everyone. Because, again, this is important information. By the way, a tenth Las Vegas survivor mysteriously dies in a hit and run. Have you heard about that? A fifth person. Well, look, I've got the names of 10 people here. It's being reported as the fifth person. This is November 26th, of course, on Sunday. But the most recent Las Vegas survivor to meet an early and violent demise. Let me make sure I get the name right here. Roy McClellan, 52. This was a hit and run. Now, look, I don't know what's going on, but you heard Doug Papa. I don't believe anybody. And that's a police officer saying that. I don't believe anybody. Same way. I don't believe anybody. I want to investigate, you know, myself. Now, if Doug Papa called me up tonight and said, hey, I got some information for you, I'd believe him. But others, I don't, you know, I don't know. So with that, do we have Doug or do we have Anthony on?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So coming up next, because you like this, no break, no network break. And I want to thank Global Star Radio Network as well for working with us on this. I know that Todd works like a maniac there. He's a great guy. Global Star Radio Network, thank you so very much for all you do. And we hope you had a great Thanksgiving, by the way. But so for going the break. Now we're going to bring Anthony Patch in. Anthony Patch, it's been a while. I got to tell
you. Yes, it has, my friend.
You know,
good to see you and good to hear from you.
It's good to see you. Your video is up. You look good. You're another guy where, okay, you start talking. I'll go get a cup of coffee, sit back and listen. And I got to tell you, I got so many emails and so many comments, people saying, you know, Doug, you're an idiot, basically. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. You're an idiot. Meaning me. You don't even know what questions to ask. And they're right. I don't know what questions to ask sometimes. Your information is so detailed, so in-depth about a number of things. Sometimes you just have to know when to shut up and know when, you know, a man's got to know his limitations. So I defer to you, the expert, Anthony Patch. Thank you so very much for joining us. Where do we start?
Sure.
Where do we start?
Well, I'll preface that by saying that it's an honor to be with you, and you certainly are not an idiot. Otherwise, you would not be in the position you're in. The other is, I like to meet the needs of the host. You know your audience. You know your demographics. You know your email and communications from your audience. So I always try to meet those needs, address those questions. So feel free to throw those out at me. I'll do the best I can to answer those questions. But
sure.
Predominantly, I'd like to cover AI and quantum computers tonight.
Well, you know what? Let's do it. I don't profess to understand AI. I don't profess to understand some of the, in fact, the talking points given to me by John. I'm not even sure I could pronounce some of the words in there. Cryptocurrencies is in there. CERN, of course, that you've been talking about. But you start where you want, and I will nudge you along whenever it's necessary. Just have at it.
Let's start off with just a piece of scripture. I am a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm, you know, been a sinful individual, and I have, by the grace of God, been saved and indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So I come from that perspective. I'd like to quote John 14:12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, obviously, that's Jesus Christ. What is happening in these latter days that is related to AI and quantum computers is that technology is the tool of Satan. Technology in the sense of specifically AI and quantum computing. The reason I say that is that we are going through, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, those indwelt with the Holy Spirit, going through a process in the present moment of transformation and augmentation of our bodies and specifically of our minds. And our minds are quantum computers. I've done quite a bit of research insofar as looking at the structure of the human mind and the DNA from the particle physics perspective. And quite literally, we do operate as a quantum computer. Now, I give you that as a background because what Satan is doing is counterfeiting. He cannot create anything new. He can only counterfeit what God has created. AI and quantum computing is a counterfeit of the human mind. If you look into AI, if you look into the mechanics of quantum computers, it's quite obvious that they're studying the human mind. You've heard of the mapping of the human mind, much like the mapping of the human genome. This is all an effort to understand not only the structure and the pattern, but to model that, to create a model of the human mind and of the human DNA, literally beginning at the quantum scale and building up, whether you're speaking of DNA or the human neurons of the brain. You will hear things in AI like recursive neural network. That is a pattern, a model of the arrangement of neurons, not only the creation of artificial neurons, but the pattern of those and how they're connected by the dendrites in our minds. And therefore, this is a replacement. This is an attempted replacement on the part of Satan of what God created, meaning the human race. For Satan hates everything that is of God. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are created by God, as is the entire universe. So therefore, understanding that as a basic structure for what is going on today, that there is a massive counterfeit operation underway, then we can understand better what the impact of AI and what's behind it, quantum computers, has to do with our everyday walk of life, specifically, you know, our daily life, our walk, whether it's with Jesus or outside of that. And this is where we're going to, and that is the battle of souls. If we are not with Jesus Christ, if we have not made that choice between the light and the dark, those that have not chosen to go with Jesus Christ are doomed. AI and the quantum computing systems that drive AI are the beast system that's spoken of in Revelation. And I'm going to give you just a couple of headlines here of my own, and that is that AI is driven not only by quantum computing systems, but it is also having its IQ raised. It is being taught by the Internet of Everything, the Internet of Things, as it's more properly known. But the advent of cryptocurrencies is the mark of the beast system. Cryptocurrencies serve, as I call it, to raise the IQ of AI. Now, there are many stratifications of AI, very basic applications of it, like you would find in your smartphone, all the way out to what I call the leading edge or the tip of the spear. That has to do with specifically quantum computers at that level. That's the level I wish to address with you tonight. And that is, okay, this is an existential threat to the human race, according to people like Elon Musk and Dr. Stephen Hawking. So that's my foundation, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Okay. A couple of things that you said. Technology is a tool of Satan. I believe technology can be used for good, but certainly in this case it's being used as really the architecture for the beast system, or it is the beast system and will be used as the system of the beast. I believe that. The AI, one thing I don't quite understand, and let's assume that you and I are just talking, and you're talking to me with limited knowledge. Artificial intelligence basically is what, how does it even operate on the internet, for example? Is it responsible for, how can I put this? When I see advertisements, for example, I will do a search. Let's say I'm looking for an office chair, as an example. I put in search office chair, and you know, I'll get a bunch of results. But then every ad thereafter is a picture of a chair for an office. Is that what kind of an example of artificial intelligence is, or is that just something much more basic? Are we looking at something much greater and much deeper than that?
That's an algorithm. That's a very basic, simple,
okay,
mathematical instruction.
Okay.
And what it is doing is it is observing the behavior of humans, be it through searches, facial recognition, observing our environment in which we operate in. An application you may consider would be the autonomous vehicle operation, in which AI learns by observing a human operating a vehicle. AI is nothing more than algorithms of instructions. Now, they get very complex at the higher levels, but yes, in terms of directing ads to you, absolutely. That is a very rudimentary, what is known as a general artificial intelligence program.
Okay, and that's the most basic example. We have what? We have, we're seeing this push of sex dolls, for example, and these animated human-like sex dolls. That's the more sophisticated aspect of AI, because they learn from, am I correct to say that they learn, for example, from the input that they receive from the human being and respond to the same? Is that, not to get graphic or gross here, but I mean, that's kind of, almost to me, that's kind of like the top level of artificial intelligence insinuation into the what we're seeing. I don't know. Is there something beyond that as well?
Well, my purpose here is not to trip you up or to confuse the audience or anything else. So if I make corrections or additions, it isn't because I'm trying to sound like I'm a know-it-all or that I know everything. But I will tell you from my standpoint, when we look at things like Sophia, which was just granted citizenship status in Saudi Arabia, that's a robot. That's an AI robot. Sophia in Greek translates to wisdom. Even that is not the top level of AI capabilities, but it is certainly near that leading edge. So I'll take you all the way to the leading edge. The leading edge of it actually has to do with communicating with the other side. This is a communication tool that operates through dimensional information gateways. And I'll back that up later. I'm just giving you the highlights. At the leading level, AI is in direct communication with the other side, with demonic entities, with Satan himself. And that sounds preposterous. But I do the research, both ancient and modern, to back that up. This is a communication tool that live right now is receiving information, and I'll define that later, but information from the other side and is in direct control. Now, to back that up, what I will let you know is that at the highest levels of AI, when scientists and programmers, engineers are questioned as to explaining how is the AI operating at these highest levels, not with your smartphone and not even with the Sophia robot example, but how is AI arriving at its decisions, at its answers, at its conclusions, and they are at a loss to explain it. And this is public information. They publicly acknowledge that they do not know how the AI internally is operating at this point. The reason for that, what has caused that, is that the AI has moved into not only recursive neural network, which means sort of a never-ending process, a closed loop of learning in which the AI is teaching itself, but it has moved into what is called deep machine learning, deep computer learning, where the AI is self-correcting. It is able to take in with deep machine learning or deep neural network learning. It is taking in larger batches, as they call it, larger batches of information than was found in what was called a recursive neural network. So at the deep level, we're talking about an operating system that is operating autonomously in its gathering of information, processing, and self-learning. Autonomous from human input and control. And as I said, from any ability by humans now to discern and describe what AI is actually doing internally. So there's a nutshell.
So if I am hearing you correctly, the people behind it, this artificial intelligence, don't even understand or claim not to understand how it works. And you're saying that there is a shall we say, a trans-dimensional aspect to this, I guess, by virtue of the fact that you're talking about this system being able to communicate with demonic forces, and that, as crazy as that sounds, I kind of mm-hmm. understand it. Is that what you're saying?
It is absolutely what I'm saying. And again, there's an awful lot of detail behind these statements, but I will say this. The origins of computing, binary computing, zeros and ones, and its growth all the way to the present time in AI. The roots of AI, if you will, and all of computing comes from geomancy. Geomancy and necromancy. Necromancy is communicating with the dead. Geomancy is doing the same thing through a process of divination, divining the meaning of random marks in the soil. A person providing imprints in the soil on a random basis, or the casting of stones and sticks on the ground, hence geomancy. And then one who is practiced and trained in the arts of divining or interpreting these seemingly random associations of marks in the soil, or sticks that are used, or stones that are used. That divination process is a process of communicating with the spirits. If you look at the written record of geomancy within the Bible, and also within the secret organizations, the secret societies, we can cite a often cited example, which is the Freemasons. The Masons practice geomancy. So if we are looking at the basis for binary communication, binary computing, as being derived from geomancy, communicating with the other side, then we understand that with the more sophisticated application of quantum computers, which by the statement of one of the co-founders of D-Wave, Gordy Rose, publicly stated in 2013, the video's out there, it's in my Entangled magazine, the transcript, he said that they are accessing 2 to the 500th power of parallel dimensions, and that they are extracting, as he calls it, resources from the other side. That's information. Now, that was with the 512 model, had 512 qubits. This year, they sold a 2,000-qubit model, the 2,000Q. They're now communicating with 2 to the 2,000th power of parallel dimensions, according to Gordon. So, you see the connection between the ancient practice, even shown in the Bible, of geomancy, which relates to Daniel, all the way to the present time, in which the same system of binary, geomantic-derived mathematical processing, which results in algorithms, and the algorithms drive not only D-Wave as the processing system, as the mechanics, the nuts and bolts of it, but the AI programming of those algorithms in the process of teaching itself. Now, I take it a step further and go beyond just calling it teaching itself to say it is connected through these 2 to the 2,000th power of parallel dimensions to the other side, and therefore in real time is receiving instructions and information on what it is to do in our reality. And I'll stop there.
You would stop there, right? Okay. I'm still struggling over the term geomancy, and when you I apologize for going backwards, but when you look up the term geomancy, I'm just surprised by the. I've never heard that term before. I've heard necromancy, of course, but geomancy. Hey, color me ignorant on this topic. I've never heard of that topic before, or that word before. But when you go back and you look at the origins of this word, the science of the sand, for example, the Arabic term, and yep, the
exactly.
Okay. So now, when you bring it forward to today, yeah, there's a lot to talk about, isn't there? There's a lot of connections. What we're seeing today, with respect to the and again, pardon me for even sounding as academic or as simple as I am, but when you start connecting the dots here, we're looking at an ancient system that is being implemented through computers.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
When we look at the mathematics involved, there's a little more advanced form of binary, zeros and ones, that we need to take into account. There's another form of mathematics beyond zero and one, which is called balanced ternary. And that's three numbers. That is negative one, zero, and positive one. This is what AI is using. They are struggling in AI to move to the quaternary level, which is utilizing four numbers. The point here is that it is more than just binary, and the complexity can be best conceptualized, if you will, in a geometric way. So let me give you a little bit of history. Back in the 1590s, in Europe, we had Dee and Kelly. We had Edward Kelly and John Dee, who were practitioners of geomancy and necromancy. They were alchemists. They communicated with the fallen angels. They received both an alphabet and the numerical representations, let's call them algorithms in our vernacular, numbers that prescribed geometric shapes. Those shapes were intended for the use of arranging the elements, the base elements, such that you could, in the parlance of alchemy, you could change lead into gold. This alchemic process. It's much more involved, but I'm just trying to keep it to things that people are familiar with. What you're talking about here is the ability to communicate using both a written language, an alphabet, as well as a communication language. This is something that Aleister Crowley also took on. Now, I'll give you a touch point because many people are familiar with Crowley and his work. He has a square tablet, if you will, that is divided by a cross in the center into four quadrants. Within that four quadrant arrangement in a square can be the alphabet or the numbers that he has received. He received, much like Dee and Kelly did, from this mystical practice, this dark art of geomancy, as well as necromancy. There are actually about seven different forms of, quote, mancy. There's aquamancy, aeromancy, spatulomancy. So using these systems and these tools of communication with what we would consider to be parallel dimensions, they were able to manipulate the elements. And that's what this whole thing is about. It is about creating a new reality, if you want to call it terraforming the planet. It's changing the actual physical structure of our reality, while at the same time trying to create a new human 2.0, a new race of beings. Now, it sounds, again, preposterous, but when you look at what their agenda is, when you look at the historical record, you look at biblical scripture, you look at the technology today in which they are literally, for example, with DNA, able to create a biological life form in the computer, what I call in silico DNA, model it in the computer, and then output it into a biological printer, a bioprinter, using the amino acids, and create a life form, not creating life, but creating a life form from an existing life form, a modification. Now, this is all in the literature. It's all in the peer-reviewed papers. It's all in the journals. None of what I'm stating is science fiction. When you look at their agenda in DNA and you look at the agenda in quantum computing, which has its roots not only in geomancy but in particle physics and quantum mechanics, then you see that they have in place today the tools to accomplish what they've set out to do for hundreds of years. And essentially that is, as I said in the opening statement, it is to destroy what God has created, be it the earth, our environment, and the human race. Now, this is not fear-mongering. This is not to scare people. I'm saying this is what Satan is pushing for. But God is going, he has a line already predefined in the sand. But he's drawn a line in the sand. And he is not going to allow Satan to achieve these goals of completely changing the earth and completely doing away with his creation and going to human 2.0. And this is why we move into the book of Revelation and we see what unfolds in terms of judgment. Now, that first judgment was by water with the flood. This time, as we know, it's the burning of the elements. The reason it's the burning of the elements is because literally at the quantum scale, the elements through these alchemic processes of today are being manipulated and are being changed. And this is going to be a clean slate approach. The good news for those that are indwelt with the Holy Spirit is what I quoted from Jesus himself in John 14:12, that we will do greater works than even Jesus Christ. We will be transformed, and it's happening now, and augmented in our minds to stay ahead of, not abreast, not equal to, but several steps ahead of Satan's agenda. If we speak about DNA, the Holy Spirit, the full armor of God, protects our DNA from these changes. If we're talking about our minds, our quantum computers, they also are protected from these changes that Satan is trying to push on us. So, what does this translate to? What does this mean for us that have the Holy Spirit? It means that we can expect to see significant enhancements in our mental and physical capabilities. I'm not talking about Superman. I'm just saying, as the pushing of the envelope in DNA research and in quantum computing and AI advances, realize that God is already well ahead of what they are saying are marvelous wonders and works in their scientific advancements with DNA and AI. Don't be afraid of AI, because it will never even equal the human mind. I'm not talking about computational abilities where you're talking about running mathematical formulae. I'm talking about our consciousness and our soul. It will never achieve consciousness at the level of a human, and it certainly will never have a soul of its own. And I'll stop there.
Okay. And I think people can understand this. I can understand this, I believe, at this point, because I mean, okay, if we look back over history and look at the technological advancements that we've seen, right up through 1900, the year 1900, and then we'll use that as a cutoff point, and then going from 1900 forward to today. I mean, it's possible for someone alive today to have seen this major transformation in their lives, of riding on a horseback and taking days to get, you know, from Cleveland to Akron, Ohio, whereas now it's much different. The reason I bring this such basic information up is you've laid a lot of heavy information on us here. The other part of this as well, that's kind of it's I think what we're seeing is a microcosm too of what you're talking about. For example, you know, remember the old DOS systems on our computers, and I apologize for taking up your time just really have to process this in my mind.
Well, you're speaking for the audience. You're bringing to me the audience's perspective on this, so I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, and believe me, the emails I get after your appearance is like, you should have asked them this, and it ranges from the most basic I can only understand like, you know, three or four words of an email because they're using but I'm trying to appeal to the broadest base here and even myself in understanding this. Everything that we're seeing, kind of in a larger sense, everything that we're seeing take place today, is a result, or how we got to this point today, is, if I'm hearing everything you're saying correctly, has been foreshadowed and prophesized. So we are living in a time right now where, I mean, just to get to the bottom line here, the bottom line is you've got people, or you've got satanic forces who want to corrupt the human DNA and capture the souls through the corruption of human DNA. Is that right? And our only defense, or our sole defense, is of course the blood of the Lamb, or our belief in Jesus Christ, and of course that protects our DNA from the changes from the forces, these satanic forces. And I know I just jumped around there a little bit, but again, I'm going from the basic understanding, seeing all these changes happen in such a short period of time. You know, there's 4,000 years of history, and all of a sudden now in 100 years we've gone from horseback to where we're at today in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one thing. And the other thing is, of course, the ultimate prize, of course, is our human souls on behalf of the devil. That's what the satanic forces want. Again, I'm just trying to set the basis here for a vast and differing level of audience knowledge and understanding, as well as my own. So, sure. You know, okay, so this is for all the marbles today, right?
It is. And it's real time. It's happening right now.
Okay. Now, if I can ask just a very simple question, who's behind this? Obviously, secret societies you've mentioned, but are there any identifiable people where we could say that man right there is behind instituting this, or that group, or is it as simple as that, or is it something more complex than that?
I don't think it's really possible from my standpoint, because what I do is I research the technology.
Okay.
I don't really go into the secret societies, and I'll answer that by making a plug. I have scheduled on December 9th an interview, a webinar with Gary Wayne. And you know Gary Wayne from his Genesis 6 conspiracy book and tremendous 800-page work of research. And we are going to be talking more specifically about the question you just posed about who's behind this, because Gary, much more knowledgeable in this area than I am. It is, you know, his bailiwick, so to speak. So I'm going to beg off, and I'm going to say that I can name industry leader AI, but they're not the ones that are creating the agenda and then pushing the agenda from behind.
Okay.
I'm going to let Gary explain that on December 9th in our webinar.
Okay, and can people tune into that via your website, anthonypatch.com? Or how do we...
Yes, if they...
Okay.
If they go to anthonypatch.com right now, there is a tab for that, and they can go ahead and purchase their ticket through my website. And the reason that we're even charging $10 is just to cover the technology cost, and so we appreciate that.
Okay.
You know, we try to make it as affordable and accessible as we possibly can. And then we have another webinar, as you're showing on the screen here, December 16th. I'll be joined by author Kathleen Urquhart, who happens to be my fiance, by the way, so full disclosure.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And we will be presenting The Fullness of the Gentiles, Divergence, The Fullness of the Gentiles. Gary is nice enough to build the foundation for this, and then we are going to bring on what is the state of the Gentiles. The Fullness of the Gentiles has often been looked upon as the number, the quantity of Gentiles saved, and then the advent of the rapture, the returning of Jesus. We have determined that this is more a state of the human race, more a state of the transformation and augmentation that I mentioned. This isn't because Kathleen and myself are anything special. We're just, you know, witnesses, just simple, basic witnesses. What we have been fervently praying for and graciously been given is information that explains what the fullness of the Gentiles really is. And this relates back to Daniel and his application of geomancy, approved in the, at the time by God himself, to employ geomancy to identify the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which he had no foreknowledge to, and then to interpret the dream correctly. And at that moment, then God commanded Daniel to seal up the book. And we're going to show that this is not actually a book, but to cease the practice of geomancy, the dark arts, because in the latter days, that information would be released. And what we're presenting to you is that the book of Daniel is open, the information's being released, and it is being given to those that are seeking God's face and God's explanation, if you want to call it a downloading of information. But this is literally what is happening in this transformation. We're being augmented by this information that was not only in the book of Daniel, but designed for this time, that through the Holy Spirit would actually show people how to engage in this spiritual warfare. And that's what we are involved in now. We set the stage on September 16th and 17th on the two-day webinar. Specifically on the 17th, Kathleen and I talked about not only the geomancy, but using the art of war by Sun Tzu as a backdrop. We outlined how we are now engaged in spiritual warfare, because we know that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are dealing with principalities. And in all seriousness, this is a spiritual battle, because we now see the technology in communication with spirits that is directly impacting our everyday life through the format of AI.
Wow. That certainly summarizes or succinctly explains the AI process and the purpose, I suppose. Would you say that the purpose then of artificial intelligence is to...
is to replace the human race.
Okay. All right. Wow. Now, I would be remiss not to mention your magazine, Entangled Magazine. How do people get that? Talk to us about that, because I think this is a fabulous idea.
Well, the basis for Entangled Magazine that's available through anthonypatch.com is to provide the more in-depth explanations of the topics that I'm presenting here tonight, as well as on my radio program on Truth Frequency Radio. 3 days a week, I spend 2 hours a day talking about high tech. And even that does not provide the opportunity to get into the finer details that might otherwise lose the audience. So putting it in writing gives us that opportunity to be more in-depth and to cite the actual facts and sources. And it also is a platform for other researchers, not necessarily in high tech, but those that are doing spiritual research and scriptural research, for them to have a platform where maybe they may not have that opportunity to get their information out to the world. And that's really what we're doing, is just providing multiple forms of communication tools, be it the magazine, the website, radio, my opportunity to speak with you tonight, and to conduct our webinar. So we try to hit people on a lot of different levels, because everybody learns differently, and we're trying to address that.
And I think it's at any cost, it is a great investment of time. For Entangled Magazine, the radio shows that Anthony Patch does. This is incredible. You're not going to learn this in 1 hour, 2 hours, or a day. It's a process. It's a learning process. And I think that, it's important for people to really understand, because I gotta tell you, Anthony, you're far, far ahead of me. I mean, in terms of really the basic understanding of what's taking place, but you make it One thing I'll say about the magazine, as well as your radio broadcast, you make it simple for people like me. So I'm glad you do that. We've got about seven minutes before the top of the hour when we do have to take a break. So Anthony, what, again, you said a lot here in this segment. What can we cover in the next several minutes that would be, that we could segue into the next hour here?
Sure. Well, let's take a stab at an actual application, and I'll set it up this way. I said it was an existential threat to us as the human race, and again, that comes from people like Elon Musk and Dr. Stephen Hawking, and there are others that have raised the alarm. And they are very concerned about, you know, our ability to exist as a human race. From an engineering perspective, they're very concerned about it. So the tangible example would be this very recent explosion by design of cryptocurrencies. Just last week, there was an agreement and put in place a software program from SingularityNet.io as what I call the clearinghouse for cryptocurrencies. Anybody that understands currency exchanges and currency trading knows that you go through a clearinghouse process. So in the world of cryptocurrency, they had last week agreed to what they called a singularity. That doesn't have to do with uploading us into a computer such as Ray Kurzweil from Google is promoting the singularity in that respect, but it is a singularity in terms of a single coordinating program for cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, for example. What we have seen since last week is an absolute explosion of new forms of cryptocurrencies, new coins, new cash, and new gold equivalents within cryptocurrency. So that's just kind of the news break, but I want to give you the background and the relevancy of cryptocurrency, what is known as blockchain. That's the structure. You have
If I can just interject something here. Now you're talking my language, because I've heard people report on this explosion of cryptocurrency. And I think most people can understand that concept. And this is good, because would you say that cryptocurrency is the currency of,
yes.
Yeah. Thank you. You know what I was going to say. I love it.
This is the mark of the beast system.
That's right. Okay. All right.
Absolutely, it is.
I didn't mean to take you off your stride. We got about 4 minutes before we have to break. Go ahead.
No. So just the foundation, we'll go into it a little bit further, but it is a blockchain of transactions, and every transaction is recorded in an open ledger system. The blockchain process is the same process by which AI learns. It learns by stringing together solutions, transactions. Every solution adds to the IQ, not just the depth of knowledge, not just the database, but it adds to the IQ, and I'll explain that after the break, what I mean by adding to the IQ. But the purpose of blockchain commerce is not for commerce. It is for teaching the AI system that is in control of it so that it becomes a more sophisticated brain, if you will. Because the same process that you see of blockchains is the same way that our quantum computer brains learn and process information and retain information. So when you look at blockchain as a schematic diagram, if you will, it is branching, what they call forking. The branching of the cryptocurrency blockchains is identical to the process in which the connecting fibers between neurons in our human brain, which are known as dendrites, the proliferation, the branching, the forking of dendrites within our brain to interconnect neurons serves to raise our IQ, our ability to process information rapidly. That is exactly what is happening in blockchain with cryptocurrencies. It is creating more dendrites, more connections, enhancing the IQ. I said I would say it after the break, but I kind of gave it away there. So go ahead if you had a question.
The only question I would have is, how is that even possible? But I think you addressed that and explained that pretty well. And just so people understand, when you talk cryptocurrencies, you're talking about the currencies on the digital currencies, and of course that's the currency of the dark web that people use in its most basic form, I should say. You're talking about, like, cryptocurrencies, mm-hmm. such as Bitcoin, and there are other right. cryptocurrencies out there. And it's interesting to me last week that we saw this, as you put, this explosion. But it's what I saw on Bitcoin, the value, and again, this is something I understand. Okay, the value of Bitcoin, or correct me if that's is mm-hmm. it went up extremely, you know, rapidly high and rapid and high, and. There's a reason for that, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, with that, our guest is Anthony Patch. We're up against the top of the hour network break. His Twitter is Anthony Patch 3. Anthony Patch on the number 3. AnthonyPatch.com is his website. Don't forget to sign up, register for his webinar on December 9th. I'll tell you something. This is an area for me personally that I want to get deeper, a much deeper understanding. And if I could, if I could just, if knowledge could rub off, I'd be rubbing shoulders with Mr. Patch, like, you know, 24/7, because, his understanding of what's taking place is a lot deeper than mine at this point. AnthonyPatch.com, Entangled Magazine as well, which provides an evolving explanation of what we're talking about right here. You're listening to the Hagmann Report. Oh, my goodness. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.